The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Jimmy Kavanagh is a councillor from Donegal and he is going to explain exactly why he thinks we should have an extra bank holiday in this country and why it should be named for St. Columb Kill. Before that, because that's just coming up in one moment, but bear with us, because before that, Dr. Elva Johnston, who is an associate professor in the School of History in UCD, is going to explain exactly who St. Columb Kill was. Elva, you're very welcome to the show. So who was he?
Really important figure within the church in Ireland, but also in Britain. A man who inspired, I suppose, generations of people to think about the role of non-combatants in warfare and their protection. In many ways, his inspiration was something that came even ahead of, the Geneva Convention and ideas about human rights. So he's a really important person. So he's he's born in Donegal. He ends up having a religious vocation that brings him to the Hebrides. He founds the Monastery of Iona off the coast of Scotland in the Hebrides. On Iona, some of the greatest, treasures of Irish art are produced. The Book of Kells is probably produced in Iona. The Book of Durrow definitely is. The Cathach of Columba, which can be seen to this day in the Royal Irish Academy Library in Dublin, may well have been written by him. But I think the most inspiring aspect of his career is the concern that he has for those who are not protected during warfare. And there's a story told about him in his life that while he's studying in Leinster with a great master, a man named Gemon, they're walking along and they're, discussing theological matters, and a woman runs towards them and she's cut down by bandits. She's murdered. And this really inspires Columba and then his successors to say, well, these are people who should be protected. And I mean, in this day and age, when we see the horrendous violence happening around the world, I think that's an inspiration for us all.
Yeah, how radical was that notion in the 6th century in Ireland or Northern Britain? The idea that civilians, as it were a separate class of category.
Incredibly radical. I mean, there is no comparison anywhere. It's a follower of Columba, a great abbot of Iona, also a man from Donegal, as it happens, named Adivnan, he's also known as Eunan. And he puts together this Law of the Innocents 100 years after Columba's death. And its specific aim is to protect those who cannot protect themselves during warfare. And there's nothing like it between, the 6th, 7th century and then the Geneva Conventions. There's nothing at all like it. It's absolutely radical and revolutionary.
In terms of kind of geographical impact, because that's a kind of a humanity-wide impact, as it were, was his influence greater in Britain rather than Ireland?
It's a really good point. It's a really great question. I think you could say his influence is maybe equal, initially anyway. It's probably, he's a huge influence in Northern Britain and what's now Scotland, but also the community that follows him are absolutely central in the conversion of who are now the English people from paganism to Christianity. So that's an enormous, influence. Later, after the coming of the Vikings, a lot of them, they relocate to Ireland, and that's where you get the foundation of Kells. Later on, you get the foundation of Derry. So I'd have to say, over time, I think it's equal either way. There's huge influence in Britain, both in Scotland and in England. And then there's an equally really really important influence in Ireland as well.
So you'd be an expert in this, and in the early iterations of the church, they were very much kind of infused with local tradition. This is before kind of Gregorian revolutions and everything like that. So the church then, as we understand it in Britain, that spread south from the kind of Picts down into England, as we would call it today, not called that maybe at the time, but was it very much a version of the church born of an Irish Celtic tradition?
Yeah, it very much comes out of this idea that we talk about now, what we call micro-Christianity. So it's the idea that Christianity, as it developed and spread, that each version of Christianity was really attuned to its local culture and local traditions. And the Christianity that grows from Iona and through Pictland, as you mentioned, and then travels particularly into Northern England, what would now be, so, I suppose, Yorkshire. And then the Christianity that develops in Ireland, they have a huge amount in common, so that to this day, you know, scholars who work on that would see them as very much sort of speaking the same language and having very similar characteristics. So I suppose things like we'd be familiar with even now, sort of, you know, devotion maybe to holy wells, or even if we took things like, you know, maybe the idea of trees being important. You can see it sort of in rag trees now. You can sort of see it coming from that idea of the way Christianity becomes as much local as it is universal.
And that Irish missionary tradition, was he one of the early iterations of it, or did it already exist?
It sort of existed. And I suppose I probably myself wouldn't describe it entirely maybe as missionary in that way of the sense. When we think about missionaries now, we think about it, I guess, maybe as sort of maybe a dominant culture trying to impose ideas on local populations. And that's not how it was then. And what I would say is that, you know, Columba, or Columkilla, when he establishes the monastery in Iona, you know, he develops this really important center within the Gaelic speaking Hebrides, but he's also really interested in the Pictish speaking areas of Northern Britain as well. And ultimately then those who look to him as an inspiration, you know, move to the English speaking areas as well. And it's not about imposition. It's about, you know, I suppose, sharing and spreading a message which also resonates with people's lives. And what's really noteworthy about the descriptions of Columkilla when he goes on missionary activity is that he's talking to households, he's talking to ordinary people. And actually one of my favourite, I suppose, stories about that is, you know, when he's travelling to one of these local communities, he travels across Loch Ness. And in order to cross Loch Ness, he has to sort of tame the monster. And it's the very first reference we have to the Loch Ness monster is in this, you know, Latin text.
Oh, brilliant.
It's the very first in 7th century, the first reference to the Loch Ness monster is Columba persuading the Loch Ness monster to allow him to pass to the other side so that he can preach to a Pictish family.
Oh, great. Not only can we claim that story, we tamed the Loch Ness monster as well. Isn't it? I like that. I like that. Elva, listen, that was great. So thank you so, so much. Fascinating stuff. Jimmy Kavanagh, I mentioned with us as well, the councillor from Donegal. Jimmy, you think all of that is worthy of a bank holiday. Is that right?
Yeah, it's a fascinating story, and there's so much there, and it's very much definitely worth a bank holiday. And we have three recognised patron saints in the country, and Bridget, Patrick, and Columkill. And St Bridget and St Patrick are both recognised with public holidays. St Columkill isn't. And, you know, there is so much to his story. And obviously my interest is the fact that he was born here in Garton in Donegal. And, you know, he also was known as the founder of Derry. And John Hume actually held him up as an example of a man of peace and so on. But he has that all island connection as well. And then it's sort of been, you know, there's monasteries all over the country. Places like Longford and Kildare and Swords and Kells have all connections to Columkill. Then there's Iona, and then there's the connections to parts of England as well, and also to parts of Europe, you know. So it's a huge thing, and I think it definitely merits a public holiday. And I think, you know, it would be a great chance. I was pitching for the first Monday in July on this, and because we have no bank holiday here in July, and I think that would be a great opportunity for people to visit these places. And you know, it's a height of summer as well. We have a Slea Columkill here in Donegal, Columkill Way, that people can walk and so on. And you know, there's things like that we could really promote, and not just in Donegal, but right across the country, and also the right across the island and further afield as well. So,
we Jimmy, we have fewer bank holidays here than the European average. Is that right?
Yeah, we're actually the European average is actually 12.8. So we have 10. So we're actually quite well below it, but most places have 11 or you know, so we are a day behind most countries in Europe, and some countries were 2 or 3 days behind. So I think that, you know, it has merit on that grounds as well. Although I suppose, you know, it maybe would be difficult for some employers and somewhere and so on, but I recognise that, but we are below the average, and you know, a bank holiday can generate a lot of income as well for the country. So I think it is well merited.
Yeah, because a few people are taking me to task, and I guess you as well, Jimmy, because you were saying it too. It's not a bank holiday. Stop calling it that. It's a public holiday. We accept that, but I mean, bank holiday is what people usually call it. So that's why we say it.
It's a public holiday. Pardon, it's a bank holiday. Yeah.
A few people pointing out that, you know, we should have a secular public holiday. It wouldn't go amiss. The saints have been covered. A lot of good people could be recognised outside of the church. So says Leo. It is interesting. I mean, were we to go down this route, the last two public holidays, bank holidays, it would be named for two patron saints, St. Columbkill and St. Bridget. But you touched on it there, Jimmy, and I just wonder how you'd respond to some of the small business owners getting in touch to say, listen, this costs us money, particularly people in retail and hospitality who are trying to make hay over the summer.
Yeah, but, you know, people in retail and hospitality would probably be the sectors that would benefit most as well from a long weekend in July. There's an alternative, too, that we could rename the June bank holiday weekend in honour of St. Columbkill, but that doesn't address that.
That doesn't give me any extra days off now, Jimmy.
No, exactly. And I think, you know, we should be looking at getting up near the average. We're not a poor country anymore, and, you know, places like Italy and Malta and right across Europe, they have far more bank holidays or far more public holidays than us. So I think that we could take another day.
All right. Well, listen, Jimmy, thanks a million for joining us. Jimmy Kavanagh is a county councillor in Donegal. And before Jimmy, we spoke to Dr. Elva Johnston, the associate professor in the School of History in UCD, about St. Columbkill, which is really fascinating stuff. So thank you both.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.